Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Finesse Cuisine Hour. I'm John Wool. We're with you each Thursday from 11 until noon Central Time to talk arts and entertainment, food, wine, and more. Oh, good morning. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for making the Finesse Cuisine Hour one of Blog Talk's most popular casts. Today, we'll speak with former ambassador Carol Moseley Braun about her unique entrepreneurial quest. We'll also meet with attorney and real estate developer Peter Birdie, the force behind the new Kleiner restaurant concept, Il Pajolo. As we do each week, we'll find our way into the Finesse Cuisine kitchens to chat with Chef Guy Michael and Laura Zieringer about what's hot and happening and perfect for your 4th of July entertaining. But before we kick off, big thanks, as always, to our producer, the publisher of magazine Soho and Soho BizTube, Miss C.D. Van. And another big thanks for the ongoing support, the emails, and the compliments surrounding the Finesse Cuisine website. I'm really proud of the site. I feel it beautifully captures the magic of the Finesse offering and really the unique experience we create for our clients and their guests in the Chicagoland area. And if you haven't already, I recommend you check it out, finessecuisine.com, www.finessecuisine.com. My first guest, Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun, requires no introduction. Her long and illustrious career in public service led to positions as the United States Senator from Illinois, our ambassador to New Zealand, and the Democratic nominee for the President of the United States. Throughout her career, she showed a keen interest in agricultural practices, worked hand-in-hand with Illinois farmers to develop forward-thinking agricultural policies, and help many see the land as a source of bounty, vitality, and good health. Upon retiring from public service, Braun began researching ways that organic and biodynamic agriculture could create a healthier environment and better quality food, and thus was born Ambassador Organics. Today, under Braun's direction, Ambassador Organics coffees, teas, and oils have won raves from consumers and media alike. They can be found in supermarkets and specialty shops nationwide. And it's a real pleasure to introduce the creator of the brand, somebody I've had a real pleasure spending time with, Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun. Good morning, Ambassador.
Good morning.
It's really delightful to have you on the show and an honor.
Oh, well, John, thank you so much. And I've got to tell you, there was one little tiny error. Barack Obama was the first won the Democratic nomination. I was never a Democratic nominee for president. I was just a candidate.
I'm sorry. I should have said and also ran, and I poor choice of words, and get my facts straight.
Just keeping the record straight, that's all.
Thank you so much. Well, let's get on. Talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial quest and the evolution of Ambassador Organics.
Well, as I like to tell friends, a recovering politician. I am. I've left politics, having served on the different capacities of state, local, and national government, and then internationally, I served as a diplomat. And I came back home from New Zealand, where I had been ambassador, ready to restore a family farm, and actually restore and create an organic farm down in Alabama. My great grandfather bought this farm in 1870, and it's still in the family. And I was looking to restore it and make it an organic, productive farm again. And I kind of got started with that, and September 11th actually derailed the farming plans because I was down there by myself. I didn't know anybody really, and so I came home to Chicago.
Right.
And that was where the germ of the idea of creating an organic company came, because I still wanted to be part of the conversation about the quality of food we have in America, and making quality food that didn't have artificial chemicals on it more readily available to people. I think the more Americans get to know what's actually in their food, what we're actually eating, the more people are going to insist on pure food that is actually nutritious, that has the taste that nature gave to that food, whatever it was, whatever it might be, to get rid of the artificial chemicals that many people suspect is causing a lot of the disease and cancers and other problems. We don't make any health claims with regard to our products, but at the same time, I think just making coffee and tea and olive oil, spices, making those kinds of consumables available in a chemical-free form,
right,
is a continuation, if you will, of my public service. And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to make more readily available chemical-free food so as to participate in helping to make our country healthier and improving nutrition.
Now, you promote the concept of biodynamic. By definition, what are the differences between organics and biodynamics?
Well, organic just means there's no organic is a guarantee that there are no artificial chemicals on the food. It is a chemical-free sign, if you will. It is not a guarantee of sustainability. It is not a guarantee of food safety. It just says there's no chemicals on this. Biodynamics takes the organic a step further in terms of sustainability, and it speaks to the agricultural practices that give rise to the product. And so biodynamic is a guarantee not only that there are no chemicals on the food, but that it is raised in the most sustainable way possible. That is to say, with all on-farm inputs, with, in the wine industry it's called terroir, that the food is a reflection of the place where it's grown, and that's what biodynamics gives you.
Very good, and terroir is a phrase that we hear and use ever so often because we have a pretty significant wine program, and I appreciate that. Was it difficult to transition from politics and public service to the commercial sector?
Well, yes and no. I mean, if anything, it requires you to adjust your visuals, adjust your eyes, and adjust your focus. When you're in public life or public service, you have to be able to focus on big picture and bring things together so that it works in behalf of everyone. When you're in the private sector, you have to be able to focus on the details, little picture, if you will. And so it's like taking the kaleidoscope and turning it around and saying, okay, instead of being concerned about saving the world in the big sense, I'm going to save the world one cup of coffee at a time, one cup of tea at a time. And so every time somebody drinks a cup of Ambassador Organic tea, they can be assured that there's no chemicals on there that might befoul the land to begin with and hurt their bodies as well.
And for listeners of the Finesse Cuisine Hour, I want to share that I've had the pleasure of buying and sampling a number of Ambassador Organic products, their teas, their coffees. It really, really fine, a light yet rich flavor to the coffees. The teas are great. There's a variety, and not only, hot tea, but they make a really flavorful iced tea. Our chef, Guy Michael, has talked about using the teas in preparation of savory food, tea-smoked duckling, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of utilization for a simple product, and they're really good. We've experimented with your extra virgin olive oils and find that they have a really light, clean, simple taste, and one that won't overwhelm food when we work with it.
Well, thank you very much for that, John. I really appreciate that testimonial, if you will. One of our slogans, actually, one of the things we say to people is that our products represent purity you can taste. And the idea is that when you take all the junk, you take all the chemicals off, you really begin to taste and can enjoy the purity of the product in its purest form, and that's what we have. And I just believe that, again, the more people know what's in their food, what they're actually consuming and taking into their bodies. I mean, think about it. If you're drinking a cup of coffee or a cup of tea,
right,
you're essentially drinking a bean or a leaf infused in water. And so the question becomes, do you want chemicals with that? Do you want chemicals on your leaf. You know, you want the leaf to be infused with the chemicals that were agrochemicals, they're called, that were used to grow it. Or do you want a pure tea leaf? Do you want a pure bean, or do you want it infused with chemicals that were put on it to keep the coffee borer insects from eating it? I mean, one of the chemicals that are used on conventional coffee, for example, is called indosulfan, and it's used again to kill the coffee borer bugs, but it stays on the product. And indosulfan has been banned in 34 countries as being carcinogenic. So, you know, to me at least, it brings together a lot of the policy issues about how we use the land, how we treat with the land, what we give people to take into their bodies, and so you get health on the one hand, health of the individual on the one hand, and health of the planet on the other, as values involved with just your drinking a cup of tea or a cup of coffee.
And these are very profound issues that affect all of us on so many levels, and many of us are very short-sighted. You know, what do I need to do to take care of myself here and now, or to enjoy certain luxuries right here and now? And we often don't think about long-term ramifications in our day-to-day practices, but the earth won't last forever. With all the advent of medical technology and, you know, physical therapy and exercise, we have the capability now of living to, you know, a much, much later age than our, you know, previous generations. But if we don't begin to impact our diets, the way we behave, the way we treat the environment and the food we use, you know, these things won't be possible, or they won't have a chance to flourish.
Well, that's exactly right. And again, you can take control of your own health. You can take control of your footprint, if you will, on the planet, just by the little decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis. And so if it's a matter of, again, drinking a chemical-free cup of tea, drinking a chemical-free cup of coffee, eating an organic pear or apple instead of one that's been sprayed with chemicals, those kinds of little fork-to-plate decisions can make a huge difference, because it always has to start somewhere, and if it starts with me or you, it can begin then to pick up and become the kind of community-wide change that I think will make a difference in the long run. So short-term decisions affecting long-term outcomes.
I've read the statistics are something like if each of us changes even 5% of our normal behavior, or, you know, adjusts a little bit more so that we're, you know, socially responsible or green-minded, the tremendous impact it can have on so many things surrounding the environment and our sustainability.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So back to the entrepreneurial quest. You have to take a little bit of a different view. You're much more focused on small details that add up to the big picture. And you're also having, as the front person, you're shouldering the weight of running your company, being the face on the product, being the voice of integrity, and also having to do all of the little things that are often tedious and nobody thinks about when they're reading about an entrepreneur.
Well, that's right, but you know, again, it's like life. If you work hard to get the little things right, then the big things will come out right. I mean, it really is no. It's all the stuff you learn from your parents or learned in kindergarten, really. So I have no problem. I mean, I want to know everything I can know about my products, about where they come from, about who raises them. I mean, all of our products, for example, are fair traded, because I believe people who get paid a living wage will be less careless or more careful of what it is they do when they're creating a product that I'm going to be out in the market trying to sell to people. So all of those things come together, and so whether it's fair trade, the organic part, knowing all the particulars of how my products get to market from the field, we have been very meticulous in making certain that all those pieces come together in a way that represents our commitment to sustainability and represent our commitment to trying to, again, provide the American people with healthier food.
Very good. And how was it difficult to learn how to create the distribution process, or is that something you had a lot of knowledge of from your former career?
Well, you know, it's funny. Again, I mentioned the difference between being an entrepreneur and being a politician. One is you focus on big picture, and the other you focus on the details. I was very fortunate in that I've been involved with agriculture policy since the late 70s and early 80s. I've both in the state legislature, I was involved with agriculture policy. When I got to the United States Senate, I was involved with agriculture policy. You know, you get to New Zealand, right, more sheep. Some people say it has more sheep than people. I was involved with agriculture policy again. And so I've been in the farm, of course, which is part of my family legacy. So I've been involved with ag policy for a long time. I had never been involved on the distribution side of it or the business side of it. And so that really has been a learning experience, and I'm sure I've made some mistakes, and we've certainly had some hard rows to hoe, frankly, and going up the rough side of the mountain with some of it. But at the same time, we've learned a lot, and we believe we got the kinks worked out, and I think our customers, our distributors, are happy with the presence that we've been able to achieve.
Now, we can find your products in Chicagoland, you know, shops such as Dominick's, Jewel, Whole Foods. And is this indeed nationwide, or are you growing little by little?
We're growing little by little, but you can access it nationwide because we are on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon.com
mm-hmm.
and put in Ambassador Organics, you can buy our products online. And that becomes a real boost. We're in Peapod also, which is an online vendor. So yes, we can be sourced or accessed from anywhere in the country. In fact, we have people in Canada who buy our stuff. So, we're available.
Very good. And do you find that the current economic downturn is affecting sales and marketing opportunities, or, you know, people really need their coffees and teas and with all the avenues such as Amazon and then the supermarkets and Peapod, there just are endless opportunities for you?
Well, I think that, we haven't gotten to endless opportunity land yet. We're working on it. But
right.
At the same time, and there has been a retrenchment, in all honesty, in organics generally. People who were what were called the occasional organics buyer because of the uncertainty in the economy, some of those people retrenched. But organics are still growing at 10% per annum. Even in the depths of the Depression, they found that the organics field was still growing as opposed to the rest of the market, that we were still growing. So in that regard, we've probably taken something of a hit, but given that we are so new, it has not been really all that perceptible in terms of our sales and our numbers. So we're growing bit by bit. We've been able to hold on. As somebody said, what genius starts a business at the beginning of a recession? But, timing is not something we can control.
No, you can't. And often if you can really tighten your infrastructure, line up all of your supporters, many will argue that a recession is the best time because there's only ways to grow from there. And if you can really, get through the trials and tribulations of a downturn, you're certainly going to flourish when things, are on the upside.
Well, I certainly, that's our gamble here, and we're hoping that'll happen. And again, we've been very fortunate in that we've been able to grow to the point that we are already, primarily based on sales and just kind of our operation just chugging along. And again, even with the stumbles, they've been, because a lot of this was a learning process, and we still are frankly looking for professionals, people who really, really know the industry, to support and help us and give us guidance. So we're open, and there's no arrogance at all about any of this, because we want to learn, we want to get as familiar with this industry as it is possible to be. This is my fourth career, as I think I pointed out. I've been able and I've been blessed to be successful in all the other ones, and so I'm hoping that this one will be a success also.
I'm sure it will. You've got, clearly you've got a business acumen, you've got a worldview, you've got a vision, and then there's an underlying integrity, because this has really been part of your heart and soul since your great-grandparents' farm.
That's right.
And
that's
all
right.
Those things are going to inform your success. Can I ask, where does viral marketing, social media, all the new tweeting and Twittering, where would that play in your marketing function?
Actually, it plays a big role in our marketing plans. I'm going to be honest with you. I border on being a Luddite. I'm a little better than that, but not much. The irony there, of course, is my son has an advanced degree in computer engineering. So, you know, I've got surrounded by this technology. I just don't exactly myself get it. But I have people around me who do. And Earl Hawkins, who works with us, Brian Moline, who works with us, these are computer genii, if there's the plural of genius.
Right.
So they know this stuff, and we have a Facebook account, and we're tweeting on Twitter, so we're doing all of those things. I just personally don't exactly understand it.
No, you know, my generation, you know, again, I'm on the other side of the halfway mark. I'm in the third quarter of my life, and we didn't grow up with computers and laptops, so it's a new language. I have trouble operating the microwave. I'm perplexed with the TV remotes, because there's one for the CD player and one for the remote. I can't even watch TV, yet businesses have to be really aggressive these days with all the social marketing.
That's right.
And you're right, you have to surround yourself with people who can support that part of your effort, because, you know, my generation, it's, you know, the kids are very facile, and it's second nature, and, you know, we grew up with two channels on the TV.
Well, I think it's also counterintuitive for us. I mean, that's the difference, is that when you grow up in a mechanical age,
right,
all of these technologies are counterintuitive. Now, you know, I haven't read a whole lot about that, but that's what I think, because it just doesn't come naturally to those of us of a certain maturity.
No, and you're a people person. You're used to being out in front of people, communicating, making eye contact, really touching a chord in different individuals and individual groups, and it's hard to synthesize that into a 140-character Twitter or tweet, so it is a little bit foreign to us. The producer of our show, C.D. Van, and magazine Soho, Soho BizTube, they're really highly charged with all the viral marketing. As a matter of fact, they've got a program, I think, August 12th in Chicago, just on social media, and another one in November that will be strictly geared for those in the food industry, ways that people like you and I, to whom it's second nature, can, you know, really further reach, you know, have an even broader and more effective reach. So it's something we have to embrace, but I don't think you ever want to lose that, the warmth and the personality and the intimacy of a one-on-one.
The personal touch.
Right. So, again, the terms social responsibility, sustainable business, fair trade, you know, for many they're simply empty catchphrases, yet we've discussed why they're so critical. Besides buying Ambassador Organics coffees and teas, what other steps can our listeners take to become advocates of organic foods and biodynamic products?
Just, you know what, if people just pay attention to what they're eating. I mean, back to the old, back to our parents again, you are what you eat. And we consume so much stuff, and we have no clue what it is. If somebody is given a cup of coffee and told, well, this cup of coffee is raised, shade grown, the nature takes care of any bug challenges, it's roasted and roasted in a clean environment, there are no chemicals on it, on the one hand,
right.
And then they're given a cup of coffee. This bean was raised in a hot field with the sun beating down on it. And the only way we keep the bugs from killing it before it gets to you is to spray, you know, the equivalent of Roundup Ready on it, or Endosulfan or whatever on it, and you choose. Well, I think the average person, given that choice, would make a decision for purity. And that's our tag is, you know, purity you can taste. You can taste the difference. When you start eating pure food, eating good food, even if it is paying a couple more nickels for that product, when you start eating it and you begin to discover a whole world of tastes and experiences that you wouldn't have eating this chemicalized garbage that I think is too often put in front of us.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you are what you eat, often I look in the mirror and I see staring back at me a Big Mac holding a Cosmopolitan. but you're right, and we do have to take care of ourselves. And I think small incremental steps by each of us can make a profound difference. Where can our listeners get a hold of Ambassador Organics, either by calling in for orders, repeat your website, if you will? I really want to make sure everybody tuning into the Finesse Cuisine Hour has an opportunity to put their hands on your products.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, there's a lot more information, actually, on our website, which is AmbassadorOrganics.com. AmbassadorOrganics.com. One word, AmbassadorOrganics, and then .com. So you can go on the website. You can learn more about what we have and what we do and why we do it. You can also order product there. And we'd love to hear from you.
And we will also post that address on the Finesse Cuisine website, and we certainly welcome any of our listeners to call Finesse as well, and we'll forward that information. Ambassador Mosley-Braun, it has been such a privilege and an honor to spend so much time with you recently and to have you as a guest on the Finesse Cuisine Hour.
Well, I am just delighted, and thank you for the invitation, and I was just so happy to meet Chef John, Guy the other day. And I look forward to a continuing conversation about wonderful food.
Have a wonderful weekend, and thank you again.
Okay, thank you. Happy 4th.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, the 4th of July is here. You know, firecrackers, suntan lotion, Uncle Sam, apple pie, really summer's here. And whether serving a designer event on Oak Street, a classic affair in one of Chicago's premier venues, or a casual afternoon by the poolside with great burgers, brats, house-made chips and salsas, Finesse brings incredible experiences to our clients and guests. The man in charge of our culinary quest for excellence is our executive chef, Guy Michael. Hi, Guy.
Hey, John. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Happy pre-4th to you.
Happy 4th. We're happy, unfortunately, to be working all weekend. We've got events and, proposals going out. So, like the great entertainers, while everybody else is resting and playing, we have to toil. But thank you. And what's going on?
Well, part of being a good entertainer and a good culinary artist is enjoying serving your guests, and I think that's actually, you know, now that I think of it, probably the exact reason why I got into the business to begin with, is to make people happy and just really enjoy life with the people I'm serving. And thankfully, a lot of our clients are people that I feel like I can do that. You know, there is the pressure of creating a wonderful event, but there's also, you know, the knowledge that a lot of these people we've worked for before and really enjoy having us around. So, it's work, but it's cooking for people that we really like and really enjoy being around.
Yeah, and it is a very intimate and key relationship. On one hand, we're at an event site to serve. We are employees. On the other hand, we're involved with what our clients consider critical occasions to either raise funds, raise awareness, launch products, increase visibility in the community, or just entertain good friends and family on milestone occasions. So you're there at the key time of people's lives, and sometimes talking about food, interacting, or working in someone's kitchen is a very, very personal experience, and we do become very, very close to our clients, and there's a very special rapport there, a warmth.
Yeah, that really is one of the most positive aspects of this job. I mean, and it's not just a job, you know, it's something that you take to heart, and you know, that's actually what makes us, I think, really successful with our clients is that they see that, you know, that it's not just a kind of trudge through, oh, you know, we got to work on a holiday or you know, any time that we are in someone's home, but it's a joy for us to be there and to share that. So, no, it's great. And it's back to what, you know, Ambassador Braun said, you know, things should be done face-to-face and with a handshake. And, you know, their media has its presence, but, you know, all of our best connections come through the people that we know.
Exactly. So with the fourth right on our heels, what would, you know, listeners of the show want to think about if they're preparing at home?
I was a little hesitant to put this recipe up, but it is the fourth, and I wanted it. I've been kind of doing a lot of work with ribs lately, so
can never go wrong with ribs, my friend.
Yeah, well, not now, you know, with our secrets out there, and well, you know, no, I'm kidding. The secrets to ribs are really easy. You know, it's just a flavorful dry rub. We put our recipe up there that we use. Just a little bit of salt, sugar, cayenne, ground coriander, all fresh spices. And actually, you know, our listeners would take heed, hopefully, to use some of Ambassador Braun's wonderful organics. That would go perfectly right here. And then, you know, we make a really easy barbecue sauce, roast the ribs for about 4 to 5 hours at a really low temperature, because that's what really starts to break down all of the muscle tissue and makes them soft and succulent and really tasty. And then once that's done, you know, usually what I do is cover them with the house-made barbecue sauce, which is I just make a little bit of oil, onions, garlic, tomato paste, and usually I add a fruit, strawberries, mango, something to give it a natural sweetness. It doesn't have to be the main focus of the sauce, but it can be, you know, just a little bit of something back there rather than using sugar. And then puree that, and then, you know, grill that on medium heat for a couple minutes on each side until, you know, the sauce kind of starts to glaze onto the ribs and serve. You know, that's really, really simplistic.
Oh, it sounds so good. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, savory, succulent way to enjoy the warm weather along with a cocktail or an icy cold beer.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get the image of you with a Big Mac covering your face and a Cosmopolitan out of my head for a little while.
You know, I shop at the finest clothiers, and I go to the most expensive salon, and in the end, I am what I am. So. Anyway, Chef, I know we will see a lot of you this weekend, and again, it's an you know, this weekend really represents some of my favorite ways to entertain those, you know, just cool evenings with the grill, you know, double crisp fried chicken, succulent ribs. I think we have on a menu this weekend.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We'll see a lot of you, and I want to thank you so much.
Thanks, John. You have a great weekend, and happy 4th to everyone.
All right. Well, my next guest, Peter Birdie, an attorney and real estate developer by trade, is switching gears and entering the restaurant business, but not in a casual way. He's about to take the Chicago Western suburban dining scene by storm. He secured a prime corner in picturesque Hinsdale, Illinois, hand-picked restaurant superstar Jerry Kleiner of Marché, Red Light, Carnival fame, to name a few. And, oh yes, Kleiner was a first guest of the Finesse Cuisine Hour last fall. Birdie selected Kleiner to be his partner and launched a wonderful Italian bistro concept called Il Pajolo. It's a pleasure to welcome my good friend, Peter Birdie. Hey, good morning, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are things going with the new venture?
Well, they're going really well. We opened on Monday night. We thought we would open with a very soft opening, but it wasn't so soft. We had probably 150 reservations and walk-ins, and the same thing on Tuesday, and almost did 200 people last night. So we're up and running.
Wow. Well, I want to talk about the operation in just a minute, but a question on any listener's mind must be, in the midst of an economic downturn, why a restaurant and why now?
Well, back around 2005, what I've been doing was obviously, I'm an, like you mentioned, I'm an attorney, and I would do a ton of real estate closings. And I realized after doing a bunch of closings, I realized that you know, we got into more of buying and selling properties. And then in 06, I started to see a downturn. So when I was making some money doing the real estate, we decided to buy the property in Hinsdale. So we had the property, and we just planned on leasing it out. And one thing led to another, and we decided that because the market was getting worse and worse in terms of the real estate, we figured I wanted to have a chance to make money every day. So we got into the restaurant business. I sought out Jerry Kleiner, who was a close friend of mine, and he came in and loved the space, and here we go. You know, the other thing is we own the real estate, so that was probably my, biggest incentive of getting into the restaurant business. And I always thought, you know, that Hinsdale and this western suburbs, you know, beside the strip mall kind of restaurant, it would be a great spot for it.
And I agree. We're something of neighbors. I live in the next town over, Western Springs. And for listeners of the Finesse Cuisine Hour, Hinsdale's about a 25-minute trip from the Loop, a very fast, easy trip, very affluent, picturesque town. And in general, the suburbs around us are hungry for good food. There is something to be said about what I call the big box chain restaurants. There's a predictability, sometimes a consistency, but you never get that really warm, distinctive flavor set and that real old world experience that you get when you walk into a really well designed restaurant that's done with a lot of care and love. So I know the community will welcome the advent of Il Pajolo.
Yeah, actually it's pronounced Il Pajolo, which means the balcony in Italian. There's a beautiful balcony that overlooks the main dining room, and we have probably seating of about 40 to 50, 60 people for private parties, and right now it's general seating.
Now, Peter, I really love your catchphrase, make money every day. This is a business cast, and that's what we all aspire to do, and that's what every, you know, company should you know, be designed for. But how has your legal and real estate background impacted decisions and strategies surrounding your deal and the overall operation of the restaurant?
You know, I think being an attorney and real estate investor, it's always it seems like I'm always looking for the best price and negotiating different everything, food at this point. I ended up being the general contractor of the property. I didn't plan on doing that, but with Kleiner's availability while he's doing two other restaurants, I took it upon myself to become the general contractor. And, you know, it's just basically the negotiating and the business of talking to people and figuring out always what the best prices are. And, basically that's what I've been doing here.
Now, you know, Kleiner has many financial partners in his various restaurants, but your involvement here is quite different. You really are the driving force behind the project. It's your baby. It's your kind of visualization, and you are really hands-on at this point with all the machinations and the daily operations.
Well, yeah, I didn't plan on it. I planned on investing with Jerry and putting up the property, being the landlord. But what's happened is, again, there's not anyone out here to oversee this, and nobody can care more than I can care. My wife and I, you know, we're here every single day, and we're just, when it's your money, it's a different ballgame, and. We have great managers. We have a great team in place, but there are things that we see that people just will overlook, and it's just because, it's just not theirs. And again, we've been very fortunate with the team we put in place. But we're enjoying it. My wife and I are having a great time right now. All of our friends and family, and all of our people that we've known from. School and things like that. They're loving it and they're coming in and you know, it's been
great
so far.
And I've met your really beautiful, wonderful wife, Dana, and you're lucky to have her support because, you know, this kind of investment certainly comes with a risk, and this kind of industry, the food industry, is really a grind. It is not a 9-to-5. It can be a 70, 80-hour week. And, you know, you've spoken the words of many entrepreneurs. Nobody can really care as much about you, about your business as you do. It's really your vision, and you have to lead the charge at all times. And if I may share with listeners, you and I have become pretty friendly over the past few years, and I know you to be rather popular in the Hinsdale community. You know, you've got a really great look, and I'm sure you're the perfect warm package on the, face on the package. And then you also have a real passion for food and dining.
Yeah, I'm getting better. I'm getting educated. I grew up in my parents are both from Italy. My dad is a tailor by trade, and of course, my mom is she would say she's a chef herself, and she could put a lot of people to shame with her home cooking, her meatballs, her buscaiola, and all kinds of different meals. So I've been raised,
now I know where I'm gonna eat on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, I'll tell you, my friends would come over all the time on Sunday, and they still come here. They're coming to the restaurant going, you know, this is good, but it's not your mom's cooking. But we're trying to get, you know, it's a different kind of food right now. We're doing more of the northern region. My parents are from the southern region of Italy in a town called Bari.
Right. First of all, nobody's going to do sauce as good as your mom or grandmother. I mean, that's in a sense what we always look for when we enjoy a good dining experience. You know, tastes that are at once comforting and interesting and ultimately satisfying or reflective of something we really know well. But anyway, it's a lighter fare, Northern Italian. Talk a little bit about the menu mix.
Well, we have one of my favorite antipasti is the arancini, which is the rice balls filled with the mushrooms and taleggio cheese.
Mm.
That's been a great response with that one, and that is just one of my favorites. We also have melanzana con mozzarella, which is, you know, regular baby eggplant with mozzarella and tomato. We have some great salads. Chef Jim Kilberg, who's cooked in Italy with Baldinelli I think it's in Tuscany, actually in Florence. So he was out there, and he was also executive chef at Bice and also at Coco Pazzo, and then also was with Jerry Kleiner at Joco, and then opened up Via Ventuno for Jerry. So he's been fantastic. But he has some of his other signature dishes are La chitarra alla bolognese, which is homemade spaghetti. And we actually have, you know, ladies here every day making fresh pastas for us, and they're unbelievable. The flavors and the textures of the pastas are just unbelievable. And one more favorite dish is the branzino, which is the pan-roasted sea bass with rapini. It's just fantastic.
Now, our community really hungers for good food and exceptional tableside service, but doesn't necessarily expect to pay downtown Chicago destination restaurant prices. So you have to make the price point fairly, you know, comfortable for everybody.
Well, absolutely. Like the arancinis, you know, you have two generous size, you know, rice balls, and they're priced at $7. We also have homemade pizzas that are priced from $11. So we definitely had that in mind, especially in today's market and economic turmoil that we're having, to, you know, keep the prices where, you know, that are reasonable, but also keep the quality of the food, you know, where people still expect to, you know, to have, and, you know, just to give you a nice value and a good meal for the price, you know.
Now, is it hard to be mindful of food costs and percentages when you have to, you know, really have keep a cost constraint, yet you're working with, you know, handmade farm fresh food? We wrestle with this question all the time at Finesse because we won't buy anything out. Everything is handmade from start to finish, even our aiolis and our mustards. You know, chef does his own pickling. This is a very expensive way, and it's a very laborious way to do food. I think it ultimately reflects much fresher, brighter, more satisfying preparations, but it also can really, really impact food costs and labor costs if you're not careful.
Yeah, I think that's going to become something that I'm going to really concentrate on in the next 30 days or so. I wanted to open up strong with good food and also, as you know, the labor too. It's just right now, it's just opening. I just want to do it right, and I couldn't even tell you right now what what my costs are in terms of my food costs at this point. I mean, we've been open for 3 days, you know, food costs and labor. I just don't know yet, and I'm going to get my hands around that, and then adjust accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, this is like what you'd call a 3 or 4 week promotional and marketing period. You'd almost want to put all of the funds into a promotional and marketing budget rather than against your normal food costs, but ultimately you do have to get back to a neutral, you know, area where everything is accounted for correctly and every dish is creating a contribution margin on its own and you have visibility of the numbers.
Well, yeah, that's well said. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, look, I like the restaurant business. It's a lot of fun, but I'm here to make some money and, you know, get a return on my investment.
My guest on the Finesse Cuisine Hour is Peter Birdie, entrepreneur, attorney, real estate developer, and now restaurateur extraordinaire in Hinsdale, Illinois, working alongside Jerry Kleiner on Il Pajolo. I know your area rather well. Again, we frequent other establishments in the area. And then my daughter, Alana, is a server. She's 19. She's been working for about a year right across the street at a little family Italian restaurant, Giuliano's, which is quite exceptional in a very different way. It's, you know, it's family fare. It's a warm, easy atmosphere. It's the kind of place you're always going to return to on your summer vacation or when you're, you know, visiting your parents after having moved away, and great, great team of people. But yours is much more of a, you know, a concept and an experience. But little by little, the you know, with initiatives like yours, the community will build up. Western Springs, a few miles away where I live, has a very noted award-winning restaurant, V, and some other, you know, casual spots. So it's exciting to see good food coming to our area. So talk about community involvement, Peter, as a means of attracting clientele and goodwill and business towards your restaurant.
Well, we hired a marketing company called Blast, and they're doing a fine job for us, but I think what's going to happen here, and in most businesses, what I find, word of mouth is just it's the catalyst of a good business. You can see it already. Again, on Monday we had 100 people. We did no advertisement. We put a sign in the window, and we had, you know, like I said, about 150 reservations. So, in terms of marketing to the community and other retailers in here, we're definitely saying hello and introducing ourselves, and they're helping out, of course. We're right next door to the Gap clothing store. There's another restaurant called Zach's right on Washington. Good guys over there, Jean Mandu and Matt. They've been helping us out, and you know, we just want to have this town be a place where everyone comes down to, and it's just, and have more choices like Giuliano's and Il Pajolo and Zach's, and make it more of like a LaGrange kind of deal or a Naperville, you know, where you have some more options and more of a destination place where people can hang out and, you know, and enjoy the town, because in Hinsdale is just a beautiful historic town. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and when you mentioned Naperville, a lot of downtown concepts have found their way out there, and then there's a lot of independently owned good restaurants. But it has built a reputation as a location you can go, you can drive to, get out of your car, and, you know, really enjoy a leisurely afternoon or evening and stop in any number of very high-quality establishments. LaGrange is going for that. I have found that the quality of service, the quality, you know, the consistency of the experience and the food is always a little shaky in LaGrange. I always have high expectations. I come away a little less than satisfied, but I think Hinsdale has real potential, especially with very passionate people like you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And again, we're very excited about this place. It took a long time, but we're finally here, and we're realizing our dream of that's been going on for about 3.5 years with the construction. And I'm sure I told you about some of the hurdles we had in terms of hooking up to the Hinsdale water system, a bill that they wanted. They wanted $850,000 to hook up to their water system because the building that we have was so small, and the amount of water that they thought we would use was going to be so great that the formula that they had in place came up with a number of $850,000. And I remember calling Jerry Kleiner. This was early on, maybe in about 6 months into the deal. And I called Jerry, and I said, "Hey, Jerry," I said, "they want $850,000 to hook up to the water system."
Wow.
And he's got a real funny way. He's like, "What are they, crazy?" He goes, "What is this, a typo?" You know, "It's a typo. It's impossible." I go, "No, this is these are the bureaucracies of a small town, and you know, different. Like I said, this was more of a Flag Creek issue, but so anyways, we got over those hurdles, and we're just so happy to be going here.
You know, the restaurant industry is such a sexy and alluring industry, and it just, you know, we all want to be great at restaurateurs. The great, you know, food personality Anthony Bourdain talks about, you know, the guy who's a great cook and a great host, you know, and he leaves his flourishing dental practice to open a restaurant and never understands all of the details, the challenges, all of the intangibles that are never noticeable. And, you know, people see a really cool restaurant, they don't know that the owner is spending hours, you know, arguing with city officials. "Hey, I'm opening a little tiny 80-seat restaurant. I'm not putting in a lake with a waterfall in the middle of Washington, you know, Avenue." So very good. Peter, how with everything going on, your law practice, the real estate business, now the restaurant, how do you find balance between work and family? I know your wife, Dana, and you've got a couple of beautiful kids. How do you find the balance?
Well, fortunately, I've made my wife part of this, and, of course, she wanted to be. And she's been here with me at the restaurant pretty much every night. And my daughter's been here pretty much every night. So we're staying together right now. And eventually once this gets going in the proper way, where I feel comfortable leaving it, then, you know, we'll cut down the hours. But I think it's just it's imperative for me to be here, especially in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 months into the future. But we make time for each other. I'm there in the morning, and I make my way into the law office. And, you know, I hope, you know, with the restaurant opening in the evening, we're not open for lunch right now. You know, it's okay. It's been good.
Very good, very good. Well, I first of all want to wish you enormous, enormous success. I know my wife and I, Carol and I, will be finding our way there very, very shortly. There was some banter today at the Lifetime Fitness where I see you in Burr Ridge, where a bunch of guys might be sneaking up on you. So if you get a big horde of hungry, loud, thirsty guys saying, "Hey, Peter, set us up," you know we'll see a lot of you. For listeners of the Finesse Cuisine Hour who find their way to Chicago, and for those who are local, Hinsdale's really beautiful. It's worth making the trip to. Peter, how can they find you? What's your website, your phone number?
Yes, we're located at 8 East 1st Street, downtown Hinsdale, 1st in Washington. The phone number is 630-734-7000. 9400, and we can be found at ilpoggiolohinsdale.com. ilpoggiolo, ilpoggiolohinsdale.com. And on Saturday, we will be open for the parade. They're having the 4th of July parade, which is going to be right in front of the restaurant. So we're going to open up and just serve some pizzas and have some spirits.
All right. Well, anybody who really has a hankering for great Italian food and really wonderful personality, please find your way to Il Poggiolo. I want to thank you, my good friend Peter Birdie, for spending time with us on the Finesse Cuisine Hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Have a good
day. Hey, you too.
Thanks.
Well, the weekend is here. The peaches, the cream, the suntan oil, the firecrackers, Chef Guy's great spare ribs. With us now to talk about ways to kick the holiday into true gear is Finesse Cuisine's own Laura Zieringer. Hey, Laura.
Hello, John.
How are you today?
I am doing well. Excited for the holiday weekend and hopefully some good weather to grill outside.
All right. So what do listeners want to know about for the holiday beverage concept?
Well, I have kind of two options depending on what everyone is doing. One is just kind of a light champagne option, and then one is for those who want to kind of really let loose and have a layered shot of red, white, and blue.
Oh, well, I want to let loose, so start with that one if you don't mind.
Sure. So what you're going to do with that is take a tall shooter glass, and you're just going to do one part of the blue Curacao, one part grenadine, and one part peach schnapps.
Mm.
You're going to layer them really slowly over a bar spoon so that they can layer on top of each other well. So you're going to start, of course, with the red grenadine and then the clear peach schnapps and top it off with the blue Curacao to have a layered red, white, and blue shot that all the flavors mix together really well.
Sweet and syrupy and thematic. And
yes.
What is the next drink?
It's pretty easy. So all you have to do is just take a champagne flute and do 4 ounces of champagne, whatever kind you like, whether it be brut or whatever your preference. Do 1 ounce of Tuaca Italian liqueur, which is vanilla and citrus brandy-based liqueur.
Mm.
If you put some dried cranberries in there for garnish, they will float up and down the champagne flute, so it's an entertaining and delicious drink.
So you almost get that little pop, that little firecracker 4th of July concept with a refreshing glass of champagne.
Exactly, the perfect way to end the night.
It sounds quite wonderful. And did you have one more little tidbit of information for our listeners on the origins of firecrackers or 4th of July?
I always thought that they were just for pure entertainment. I love fireworks. And in doing some research for today's cocktail, I found out that the origin was actually to ward off evil spirits. They thought that the loud noises and heat and, the bright colors would ward off evil spirits. So,
well, I've always used... I've always inebriated myself to ward off the evil spirits, so
either will do.
I think you can do this any time of the year, but yeah, that's really interesting. So I guess the noise and the fireworks and the lights have that effect. Well, Laura, I think all of our listeners and those of us at Finesse Cuisine are going to have a fantastic holiday weekend. Chicago is supposed to be about 80 degrees, cloudless. So I really appreciate these ideas to kick our week. And into true fashion.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are about out of time. I really want to thank our guests, Ambassador Carol Mosley Braun, Peter Birdie, Chef Guy Michael, Laura Zieringer, our good pal Stuart Rosenberg for his fantastic theme music, and of course our producer, the publisher of Soho BizTube, a magazine Soho CD fan. Hey, don't forget, check out the Finesse website for all these recipes and all these contacts. And just for some great ideas for your own entertaining, large or small, and that is www.finessecuisine.com. I'm John Wool. On behalf of all at Finesse Cuisine, I hope you have a fantastic, safe, and healthy, happy holiday weekend.